5 years ago, the Baltimore Orioles were playing the Cuban national team at Havana's Estadio Latino Americano. Well, downtown, a group of Cuban musicians and American performers were holed up in the legendary Hotel Nacional, creating music. The fruits of this collaboration sat in a cardboard box until this summer, when they were released on an album called Bridge to Havana, NPR's Philip Davis reports.
In March 1999, an impressive group of artists gathered in Cuba's capital city. They came from every genre, from classic Cuban son to American blues rock. They performed in both English and Spanish. Bonnie Raitt was there. She sang a song called Brisa Azul, or Blue Breeze. Cuando llega la noche, yo recuerdo tu cara, y en las olas del mar siento tu voz, y en la luz de esta luna es tu piel que me rosa. Esta brisa azul trae tu corazón más cerca de mí. It was the last of a series of cultural exchanges called Music Bridges. The independently financed project had sent American musicians to the Soviet Union, the Balkans, and finally Cuba. Rapper Montel Jordan was attracted to the Cuba exchange.
I felt like, without knowing it, that this might be a small piece of history in the making because of the people that were there.
Each artist, Cuban and American, had to pull a name out of a hat to pick their musical partner. Jordan pulled guitarist Carlos Alfonso. Most of the Americans didn't speak Spanish, and most of the Cubans didn't speak English. Somehow, Jordan said, they managed to communicate. And he says the experience pushed him in a new direction.
Like on the song, Everybody's Watching Us, if you listen to the song, you hear this, when the guitars and things were playing, it's like this. And then you'll hear me do this. Like these Latin rhythms with my mouth. That's not something I normally do or whatever, but because of the collaboration when we were creating the music, if I had been in my studio here, I would have programmed those drums or done something like that. But because we were there, that became a part of the song. It became a part of the music and of the creation.
American soul diva Gladys Knight was also there. She paired up with Cuban composer Edesio Alejandro, and they took just hours to write, sing, and record a song they called Vacilón, which translates into Feeling Good. Reached by phone in Havana, Edesio Alejandro says that Bridge to Havana is not trying to be a sequel to the hugely popular Buena Vista Social Club, which paired Ry Cooder with older Cuban singers and musicians. Instead, he said the sound is a reflection of today's sounds and rhythms from both Cuba and the United States.
Creo que fue la mezcla de estilo, de idioma, de raza.
The Bridge to Havana project was a mix of styles, of languages, of races, and ways of thinking that came from it. For me and the others, it was something unforgettable. It made us all universal when we mixed the son with funk, rap with danzón, and rock with rumba. It was very special.
Special, but non-political. Artists were told not to stray too far from the hotel, says music journalist Judy Cantor, who was in Havana at the time.
I think it was a mandate, really, that politics should not be a part of the lyrics. And the few things that were said, for example, aren't included on the CD because it really was not considered in the spirit to bring politics into the equation. It was to be purely a cultural exchange.
Cantor said that it was actually the American organizers who tried hardest not to politicize the event for fear of alienating both the Castro regime and the U.S. government. Yet, in Not So Close, Not So Far, Cuban singer and songwriter Carlos Varela takes a hard look at frustrated dreams, whether they be in Buena Vista or on Sunset Boulevard. Ahora ya sé que no existe un lugar en Buena Vista o en Sunset Boulevard. La gente ya no sabe bien lo que hace con sus sueños. Despite the political tiptoeing and the language barriers and the time pressures, in just a week, the musicians created, arranged, and recorded more than 35 original songs. They came together one last time for a marathon concert at the Karl Marx Theater in Havana. Cinematographer Haskell Wexler captured the event for a documentary. There were hours and hours of recorded music on digital tape. The artists said their goodbyes, and then the whole thing seemed to disappear down a black hole. 2 years ago, Alan Jacoby, president of Pyramid Records, heard rumors of the Cuba tapes. He tracked down the organizers who sent him a package.
There was no inventory. This was just a box full of odds and ends that had been sitting around for almost 3.5 years.
That's because the music was in a legal netherworld. There were disputes between the filmmakers and the music producers. Many of the artists' record companies had not been contacted for clearance to use the material. A special license was needed from the U.S. government to sell what was considered a product of Cuba. And that was only half the problem. Much of the music was raw, often laid down in just a few takes, in hotel rooms converted into makeshift recording studios. Jacoby says it was almost like the artists were recording demo tapes.
Working and recording almost simultaneously. They would finish a lyric and go, okay, walk in the vocal booth and sing it. These came out far better than song demos, but still not, some of them not quite the level that we're used to. So we chose the ones closest to studio quality recordings.
Eventually, a dozen songs made it onto the album. The result is something of a hybrid, says music journalist Judy Cantor.
I think everybody was surprised. I think people were maybe expecting something more Cuban, because for the most part, it was kind of pop music or smooth jazz. And I really don't know if that's because the Americans were dominating the proceedings or just because maybe the Cubans were interested in playing that kind of music.
Cuban composer Edesio Alejandro says there's some truth in that.
We left a bit of ourselves out so that we can combine to complete something unique.
Meanwhile, the bridges between the U.S. and Cuba have not gotten stronger. They've crumbled. New travel restrictions from the Bush administration have made it harder than ever for Americans to go to the island, and not one Cuban musician has been able to come and perform in the U.S. this year. Philip Davis, NPR News, Miami.
And you can hear full cuts from Bridge to Havana on our website, npr.org. And this is Weekend Edition from NPR News. I'm Scott Simon.